Okay, we're in the 13th chapter of Revelation. We have been introduced in this chapter, reintroduced, if you will, to the beast that comes out of the sea, who is Antichrist. Remember? Second person of the unholy Trinity. Share with you that the sea prophetically represents the Gentile nations. And so it tells us something not only here, but we went back to Daniel, remember, and found out that the origin of the Antichrist, where again, even many Bible teachers have said for a long time, he must be Jewish. And the reality is the Bible doesn't even teach at all that he's Jewish, but that he would come out of the Gentile nation, which would have a tie back to Rome. Because remember, again, Daniel said, this guy comes from the people who will destroy the city and the sanctuary. AD 70, Rome went in, destroyed in fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and again, in fulfillment of Jesus' own words, they did not leave one stone left upon another when it came to the temple. Okay? So the beast out of the sea at the first part of Revelation chapter 13 is Antichrist. In the 11th verse, we're introduced for the first time to this other individual. He is called the beast from the earth. The earth usually represents, prophetically, Israel. The earth, the land. It's the same word. The earth, the land. The only land that we really have that is ever really specified and identified in the scripture is Israel. Okay, that doesn't mean it recognizes other places. You know, you'll say, well, it talks about Moab and Edom and all. Of course it does. But when it talks about a land that is given or a land that is identified, that speaks of Israel. So when we look at this second beast, which is, we also refer to him as the false prophet, because he fulfills the role of the third person of the Trinity. That's the Holy Spirit for us. But he is the third person of the unholy Trinity. And remember what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit brings us to salvation. The Holy Spirit identifies Christ in our life. The Holy Spirit takes the things of Christ and brings them to us. And the Holy Spirit will always glorify Christ in us as believers. That's what you read the 16th chapter of the book of John, and that's what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do for us. Okay? Now we have this unholy third person. And his purpose, as we read last week, is that he will perform great signs and wonders. Remember that little phrase where Paul warns us that in the last days there will be great signs and wonders and people will follow them. It always is intriguing, at least intriguing to me, that one of the big movements in what I would call the neo-Pentecostal or radical charismatic groups is again, they actually call their movement the signs and wonders movement. You got to be careful of those things and the application of those things. Do I believe that, and I'll just share this, do I believe that God still does miracles? Of course I do, or I wouldn't pray. God is able. He heals, He restores, He changes lives. He is a God of miracles, okay? Do I believe that there are people that do miracles? No, I don't. I always put it this way, I don't have any faith in divine healers. I have faith in divine healing, that God heals. If divine healers are what they say they are today, they are the cruelest of people that walk on the face of the earth. They shouldn't be on TV. They should be in every cancer ward that's there, every children's hospital that's there. You know, the disconnect, even among Christians who follow these guys, it's just mind-boggling to me. You follow this guy, and you say, well, I know. I watched on TV. He healed a person on TV. Really? I've seen elephants disappear on TV. I've seen jet planes disappear on TV. You can see anything on TV. You know, the proof is in the pudding. These guys are talking about raising people from the dead. And, well, I heard him. He said, but did you see that dead person come back to life? Be very careful. Anybody can say anything. Okay? So you say, Pastor, then who are we to follow? Well, we're to follow the Holy Spirit, and we're to stay in the Word. We're to be grounded and have discernment about what's going on around us. Because if not, we are opening ourselves up to this very thing that's going to happen at this time. That is a false prophet being able to come and cause fire to come out of the sky, cause the image of the beast to speak and things as it's described here. And people go, wow, he must be divine. He must be supernatural. And we talked about last week, three areas. Natural, that's where we dwell. Supernatural, that's only what God can do. But there is the paranormal realm or the occult realm, and it is above the natural, and it is more than we experience. So there is power in that realm. That's the power that is described here, because it says he will do these things by the power of the dragon, by the power of Satan. So Satan is powerful in comparison to we mortal beings, right? But in comparison to God, well, there is no comparison. It's not this great battle between God and Satan. Even Satan, this may bother you, but I have to say it anyway, even Satan is a part of God's plan. Or God could just say, you know, to me, so God could say, poof, you're gone. God could do that. You know, he has the power to do that at any moment. But he has chosen not to do that. And you say, well, why? I say, I don't know. So we leave it at that. But God has not lost control. You got that? God has not lost control. And he knows what's happening. So in this time, we see verse 14, it says, and he deceived those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he has granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those on earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. In other words, to give life to it, or the appearance of life. And we talked some about this, the ability to do holograms. The ability to even do holograms where they're actually responding to you, like they're alive, like they're right there. Again, what would that look like in John's day? Something like that we're talking about today. The ability for the appearance of the beast to be everywhere at one time. Again, trying to mimic the attribute of God, which is the omnipresence of God. That God can be everywhere at one time. You can be guaranteed that this is what's going to be projected, that no matter where you are, the beast knows where you are. Now, they're not going to call him the beast, okay? Everybody got that? The beast is going to know where... No, they're not going to call him the beast. He's going to be Savior. He's going to be Messiah. He's going to be the promised one. Last week I did the service for my uncle. I got a letter that was directed through our church to my uncle's family this week. In it had pamphlets. And when I read the first sentence on there, before I turned over to see where it came from, I knew they came from the Watchtower Tract Society. And the letter went on to say, not only to my aunt, who couldn't read the letter anyway because of her condition, but to the whole family, that we don't have to worry about death because we're going to get a renewed earth, and just the whole spiel from the Jehovah Witnesses. But there was an interesting pamphlet in there. They are looking... I should have brought it over to my desk. They are looking and they are promoting the coming of a world leader. Now, this is something that's changed with the Jehovah Witnesses, but they are promoting now a coming world leader and the need for the world to have a world leader. I'm thinking as I read, they don't put a whole lot of information in there. It's just like a big promo thing. And I'm thinking, you don't even know what you're promoting.
And who is inspiring
them? Well, that's true. So the preparation for what we're reading about now is all around us, folks. It's all around us. And you really don't have to sensationalize it. There was a time earlier, you know, a couple of decades ago, you had to sensationalize it to make it work. You don't have to do that anymore. It's quite evident. Everything that's described here by John is possible today. And not only possible, but being promoted. Excuse me, the dryness. The preparation for all this is being made. Can you see it? And you don't have to be paranoid. You know, it's a... Thank you. Boy, nice people. All right, water everywhere. Thank you. So I think we're at the time where that saying becomes true. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Okay? Bad English, but hey, it makes a point. All right, so let's go back and let's see what, you know, again, it's all deception. That's what you need to understand. All this is deception. It's not by the power of God, but it's made to appear to be by the power of God. Fire from heaven. The ability to make the image of the beast speak and respond to people. It's all deception. It's all and the purpose of it is to get people to worship the beast. That's what the false prophet does. But in worshiping the beast, who have we learned is the power behind the beast? Satan. So it is Satanism, and I would say in close to its most pure form. Have any of you ever had the opportunity to talk to a witch?
Oh, yeah.
So where's this coming from?
Wiccan.
A Wiccan.
Yeah.
A witch or a warlock? You know they're all around us. Okay. If you ask a witch or a warlock, a practitioner of Wiccan, and they may call themselves naturalists or worshippers of nature, these kind of things. And you would ask them, or you would make a statement, but who you're worshiping is the devil, they will tell you they are not. And you'll notice today that there's this big emphasis on good witches and bad witches, white witches and black witches. And not only that, those of you who are still readers and things like that, if you go into a lot of the bookstores, I mean, I'm talking about Barnes & Noble and things like that, the shelves upon shelves upon shelves of novels and stuff that promote witchcraft. And I'm talking about not in become a witch, but in a positive light promote witchcraft with love stories, vampires, werewolves, zombies. I am amazed every week that I have Christian people who will send me, who will put either on Facebook or something like promoting books, you know, and I will say something like, do you not understand that that's a book that involves vampires, the dead, that drink blood, that have no soul? I mean, let's get back to the real of it. I mean, you know, do I believe vampires exist? Of course I don't, but look at what's being promoted.
That's right.
And I get the response, well, Pastor, you don't really understand. It's just a wonderful love story. And it is put around a love story. You know? And you know, we have so lost a sense of right and wrong. And as long as we sugarcoat evil, we somehow think that evil is okay for us to consume. And it's not okay for us to consume. The Bible tells us that we are to abstain from every appearance of evil. And the deceptive nature of our enemy today to capture the minds of many of our young people, particularly, I want to say for the older generation, I think he was very good at doing that with the daily, all the soap operas and stuff like that. Just garbage. But not only soap operas, but my mom did this too. Like her generation, she had stacks upon stacks of these Fabio type books. It's fantasy, you know. You know, Fabio with the long hair, the love stories with the, you know. And anyways, we do not realize. And I have people that it doesn't do any harm. And I said, you know, what you feed your soul with is what's going to nourish your soul. But I want you to see the deceptive nature of our enemy. He will not be called the beast, and he will not be called the dragon. He will be seen as the glorious one. As you know, and Paul warned us that Satan would turn himself into an angel of light, and his ministers would be angels of light. That's the deception that he speaks of here. That's what we're being ready for right now. And because we're in a time of pretty much zero discernment in the body of Christ, our enemy just sort of runs free, even among the members. of the church. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm just talking about having that kind of discernment. And by the way, if you say anything about it, you will be seen as the most uninformed. I'm talking about from other Christians. Narrow-minded, not understanding, judgmental. I've got hit with the judgmental label many times. You know, I say, and basically what I've said every time is that I'm not judging you. I'm concerned for your soul. You can believe that or not believe it, but I'm concerned for your soul. Because you're feeding your soul with garbage. And all of us computer experts, I say with much trepidation, we understand at least this: garbage in, garbage out. Okay? All right. Verse 16 now. And this is where we actually start at a new place today. That was a long time of restating things, but I hope you got some new stuff that I brought in today in preparation for this one, because this is the one that everybody seems to be very worried about. I would say this is the one you have to be least worried about, because if you get to this point, you're already caught up in a deception. You understand what I'm saying when I say that? There's a reason why John was inspired by the Holy Spirit to tell us all those other things before this. Because by the time you get here, you are so lost in the deception. You are so lost in the system, the beastly system, that this is just what you'll do. Okay? I find it interesting, a little side note here. How many have been affected? I don't know how it's affected those of you who are retired stuff. How many of you have been affected by the Affordable Care Act yet?
The what?
Me. and Eddie. The Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. Okay? So my insurance just jumped up over $100 a month. That's $1,200 a year. Okay? And in order to have it only jump up that much, I had to go from $2,500 deductible a person, Teresa and myself, to $10,000 deductible, Teresa and myself. So we have less coverage and we're paying more money. Okay? So, what I do, I want to be a smart shopper, so I call people, and one of the groups that I call was Guidestone, which is the retirement system for Southern Baptist pastors. Their recommendation for we asked them what can we do? Their recommendation is that we sign up for Obamacare.
You're kidding.
No. So I said, I don't have time to talk to you now, but I'll be back with you. Because to get into something new now has become so difficult and stuff that it's a mess. You have no idea. Some of you I know are already on Medicare, you're already locked into a system and stuff, but I guess what I'm saying again, I'm doing a type now. All the preparation, all the work that's gone on comes to a place like when this mark of the beast comes, it will be what is necessary for people to do. And people will be convinced that it's all that they can do. Maxine, yes?
I do have the name of a very good health insurance broker. Because that happened to me too. Remember the statement: if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor alive. So I all of a sudden, I got a letter. Well, this is over a year ago now, 2 years ago, that all the doctors and hospitals were going to be 40 miles away.
Yeah.
And my personal doctor said, "No, you've got to change companies because it's just too far to go if you should have an emergency." So anyway, I fortunately, thanks to the Lord, have a name of a very good.
If you email that over to me, we'll look into that too. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Okay.
It affects the Medicare people also because it raises the co-insurance.
Yeah, it's going to affect everybody. There's nothing affordable about this thing. That, again, it is the deception of it. But ultimately, and again, we're at a time where we sound like we're conspiracy people. But basically what we're doing, what we're moving toward, is complete governmental control of your life. You can't do anything except for the government allows it. And we really have, Orwell's 1984 is happening all around us. And can you imagine, we have a time where this week they're debating, here's what they're debating, whether or not they're going to allow the NSA, National Security Agency, to continue to gather full information on we, the citizens of the United States, as they have been for the last 6 years. The Patriot Act sounded good. What the Patriot Act did was it, and this wasn't under our present president, it was under our former president. What it opened, because of fear, and you know, when fear drives you, you're going to make some bad decisions. Because of fear, they made some decisions, and what they did was they opened up a Pandora's box, and they allowed the National Security Agency to not only check on supposed terrorists that they get, but now they have the ability, and apparently have been doing it, where they have ability to get into your, what you do online, what you do on your smartphones, what you do on this, things like that, and they're debating this week whether or not to continue that, the ability to do that. You know, there's a young man by the name of Snowden that's being made out to be one of the worst persons the world has ever seen because he dared to open his mouth and say what was happening. But when he did, all these things start opening up of what's been happening.
Right.
So, you know, he's a man without a country today. And he's stuck over in Russia. And I don't know that he did it for all the right reasons because I don't know the guy. But what he did do was, for a moment, he pulled back the curtain,
right,
and they had to deal with the reality of what they are doing.
Right.
Control. Do you remember when we went through the book of Genesis? Those of you who were part of that. And we met a man by the name of Joseph. Remember Joseph?
Oh, yes.
And God used Joseph to build up Egypt and to build up the Pharaoh at that time. Before that, the Pharaohs were basically tribal leaders. But remember what happened. The famine came, and God used Joseph to build cities and places. And remember what happened? Eventually, all the farmers, all the people who were pretty much self-sufficient, like we remember farmers were here in this country, were drawn into the cities. They had to give up their land. They became dependent upon Pharaoh. They became dependent upon the government for everything, their food, their housing, everything. Okay, once that happened, the man that was Pharaoh and those who followed after him, his family that followed after him, they had complete control over the nation of Egypt. Because nobody could do anything except first they get it from Pharaoh. He owned the cities. He owned the food. He owned the water. He owned everything. You get the picture here. He was able to control the Egyptian people because he pulled them out from the various places and he brought them into the cities. Look at our own country. We've done the exact same thing. Now, it's taken a little bit longer, of course, but we've done the exact same thing. How many of you were raised on farms? How many of you were raised in a place where you could, if you were left on a farm, you could butcher your animals, you could grow your own food, you could do all those kind of things? How many of your kids could do the same thing? You see? When I go hunting, my daughter always says, "Well, Dad, that's, you know how, that's, you know." I said, "Well, Shiloh, you're paying someone to do what I'm going to do for free. And my meat will be better than theirs." So, but, you know, look today. Today, your food source could be cut off, and you would have nothing to say about it. Your water could be cut off. Your power could be cut off. Today, they could come in and take your house. And you would have nothing to say about it. It's happened before. They can control the population today. Probably 90%+ of the population of the United States is under the control today, and we don't even know it.
That's under the theory, the Saul Alinsky theory of creating a crisis.
Yeah.
If you don't have one, create one. People have to be dependent upon.
And the other thing that we think that the media and the internet is a blessing, but it really is a manipulation. We get too much information.
That's what I think. Yeah.
And you're able to use that type of thing. All right. So now we go back to here. I just don't want you to see that all of a sudden. I guess what I want you to see is we're not. It's not going to go. Everything's good. And boom, the next day the Antichrist is going to come and everybody's going to just do what he says. This is all a progression thing. Okay? And we're primed for it right now. It could happen. It could happen at any time. And people will be willing to do this. You already have some people in some nations that are putting microchips into their, not only their animals, but into their children. For fear they'll be kidnapped. All right, so look at what he does. He causes, verse 17, causes. That word causes means makes, demands, commands. Okay? When it says causes, this is not an optional thing, everybody. You want to eat? You take the mark. You want to drink? You want water to drink? You take the mark. You want medical coverage? You take the mark. You want to be seen as a loyal citizen? Then you take the mark. This word cause has nothing to do with an option on anybody's part. It is a demand, it is a command, and everybody will take it. Or there are dire consequences for those who will not take this. Well, then we read on. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their forehead. Now, there's so much here. Most of you are familiar, because you've lived through a lot of it, is the big push for socialism or communism. The big so-called draw, and I can't believe how many people are really pushing for socialism today in our country. The big draw for socialism and the demonization of free enterprise or capitalism is that free enterprise and capitalism breeds selfishness, greed, a class system, and all that kind of thing. Isn't that pretty much what you hear today? Matter of fact, but the reality is, from my view, when capitalism works properly, when free enterprise works properly, everybody gets ahead. It blesses everybody. Now, the promise of socialism, tied with communism, is that the equality of everybody. It's a lie. It has always been a lie. In China today, the biggest communist country in the world, people are not equal there today. In Russia, in old Russia, they were never equal. There was always a ruling class, there was always the rich, and there was always the very poor. What communism and socialism actually does is it eats away at the middle class. And it drives it to where you either have rich or poor. But you always have rich and poor. You'll always have that. But when you destroy the middle class, the producers, and those who always have in their mind, I can improve my standing. And I'll work hard to improve my standing, not only for myself, but for my family. So, but when you destroy all that incentive in the middle class, what you have left is you have those in charge and the poor. And there's a big void between. And what happens to most of the middle class is they don't go into the ruling class. Because that's pretty much set. Have you ever noticed that? That ruling class, that rich class is pretty much set. But you take away from the producers and the middle class and you drive them into the poor class. Okay? The promise of socialism and communism is that everybody's going to be equal. Guarantee you that the promise of Antichrist when he comes is you'll have no more needs, you'll have no more wants, you have no more this, we'll take care of everything. And we have people slobbering over themselves to have that happen in our country today. Healthcare is not a right. Sorry. It's not a right. Should we take care of those who have real needs? Of course we should. Of course we should. Compassion. But you can't take that. It's not compassionate to have the government take from its people unwillfully and give to other people. That's not compassion. It's our mind, our thinking. We're so far away from what our founding fathers gave us that we don't even think that way. And we think that compassion is demanded by the government and provided by the government. And it's not. It's not. You can't have a ruling class who tells you, most of us in what would be considered the middle class, some upper, some middle, whatever, in the middle class, that you have to sacrifice everything to meet the needs of the class that has nothing while they're eating cake. Yeah. And going on vacations. Yeah. And spending millions of dollars on their own comfort and nothing's changed for them. But it must change for you. Because that proves that they're compassionate. Isn't it funny how someone reached their hand in your pocket, take your money, give it to somebody else, say, look how compassionate I am.
Yeah.
That's where we're at, Eddie. Oh, Sue, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, as the government has destroyed the church, as church, the true church, and the people who took care of this work, they didn't have to be forced to take care of the ones who couldn't provide. The church would take care of the needs of the poor.
Right.
But the government now said, we don't need the church, we'll take care of the poor. So
but it's not, and I want, what I want you to see is, and you're exactly right, it's not a matter of compassion, it's a matter of control.
Yep.
And if you lose sight of that, then you're missing what's happening all around us. And if you think it's by one party or the other, again, you've lost sight. The main party in Washington today is not the Republican or the Democrat, it's the party of power. And each one of them spend most of their time, most of their money, keeping their seat of power. Okay, we have to understand what's going on all around us. The days of genuine statesmen are pretty much over. I'm not saying there's not a few left. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying across the board, you know, you wonder, just think about it. You wonder why the Congress and Senate will not do anything about some of the things our presidents have done that are clearly contrary to the Constitution. You wonder? You wonder about why the supposed most conservative Chief Justice we've had in a long time would declare the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, as being constitutionally right? When everybody expected him to be the one to stand up, but all of a sudden this surprise, and he demands you to do it? All right, let's read on. So he said, what I want you to see there in verse 16 is, there will never be a time, no matter what the promise is, that all people will be equal on this earth. There will always be the poor, there will always be the rich, there will always be the free, there will always be the slave. And the deceptive thing about this is the promise that these things will change. The reality is, they will never change. You always have these different groups of people. But regardless, every person must do what? Must receive the mark on their foreheads. Now, that's every person. That includes the ruling class. By the way, I think the ruling class not only will do it, they will be probably the ones who will step forward to do it first. Okay? Verse 17. Look at the impact of this identification with the beast. Now remember, the beast is a person and the beast is a system. So, the impact is that no one may buy or sell except one has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So, and let's put it this way. Unless you are a citizen of earth, let's just put it that way. Unless you're a citizen, obedient citizen of earth in this day, which is represented by the willingness to take the mark of the beast, to identify yourself with the worldly system in that day, then it says here, you will not be able to buy or sell anything. Okay? Unless you have this. The other thing that's going to happen that we read earlier is that this false prophet is actually going to be leading people to... Let's say you refuse. I'll not take the mark of the beast. I'll not bend my knee to the Antichrist. So what happens to those people? This false prophet, this spiritual man, this man of great religious wisdom. You know what? He's not only the prime leader of worship in that day, but he is the executioner. And people will be put to death, and their death will be celebrated. That they would dare stand against the beast. That they would dare stand against the system. They will be the outlaws. They will be the criminals of that day. You say, I don't see how people can even buy it. Look around you today, folks. Let's suppose, you all know me very well as a brother in Christ and as your pastor. And let's just suppose that the government got crossways with many Bible-believing pastors. And let's just suppose that they started putting out things about us, things we're doing, or things they say we're doing. Who are you going to believe? If you're like most people, you're going to believe the propaganda. They have access to our computers today, and it's already been said that they have put things on people's computers, like contact with terrorist groups. Like, you know, the best way to destroy a pastor today, if they wanted to put stuff on my computer that would have pictures of little children, stuff like that, put that on my computer.
Yeah.
What would I say? I could stand up here all day and tell you, you know what? I have no idea how those things got there and stuff. What would I say? I share with you something that happened to me before I came to this church, and it can happen very easily. I'm looking up information to see what happened to, and I've shared this with some of you, I think, what happened to Jimmy Swaggart.
No.
Doing some background. So I click on this thing that tells me where Jimmy Swaggart is. That's what the header says. I click on that. Where it takes me, my computer, is to a site that was a porn site. When I click to get out of the porn, I'm going, whoa. And then when I'm clicking to get out of the porn site, all it will do is take me to another site. It will not click me out. It just takes me to another site. And before I know it, coming across my screen is image after image. I mean, it's just like sliding across my screen. And I'm thinking, this stuff's going into my computer. So my poor secretary over there, I said, Emily, you have to come in here. Because you have to know this, and I'm sorry you have to see this, but you have to know this. And she came in and she said, "Okay, I got it," and stuff, you know. And we had to deal with all of that and stuff. But that happened on my computer from doing that, where it was impossible for me to get out of the cycle. And that wasn't the government; that was the porn sites that made it very difficult for me to get out of the cycle. I had to go in and clean up the computer, do all this kind of stuff like that. But they're already talking about the ability they know what you're looking at on your computer. They know what sites you go to, because that's part of the NSA thing, and they're able to put into your computer. So what happens when the propaganda comes, when they want to destroy the reputation of those who stand against them? And I think that day will come. What happened? And most people will believe whatever the propaganda is. I guarantee you. Even most people in the church. So,
I have a writer friend in Tennessee, and she said that when she wasn't even on her computer and went on there, that her camera was going off and this and that. And she's a very prolific writer, and a lot of people don't like what she writes because she's a Christian writer. And that they were going behind. And I've had porn come on my old computer. And when I called Tim Bushnell, I said, is there a way you can go on there and take it off without having to look at this? I have no idea. And then he said, do you shut your computer off at night? I said, no, I don't sleep. That's when I wasn't asleep. I said, no, so why should I? And he said, that's what's happening. Hackers.
It's open. Hackers can get in there. Yeah.
And so he was able to go. Because I said, I don't want you to see that image. I don't want to see that image.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it can happen.
Since we have no idea the technology. So, and again, the propaganda of saying, you know what, we caught your pastor.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
all of a sudden they storm this place and they find all this stuff. But by the way, it's not on my computer. You can go over and look right now if you want to. But
no, it's scary.
I can see the day where that could easily happen.
Absolutely.
Just pound it in there. So, the control of the beast, and now the control is so great that people in that day cannot buy, sell, trade, cannot do anything unless they take the mark of the beast. And the end result is that those who refuse to do it will be put to death by the false prophet and by, I would say, the world police at that time. So verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him who understands, who has understanding, calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is... Now, some of yours probably say three. Well, mine says 666, but some say it out. What's it say?
600, 666.
Okay. 600, 666.
And 6.
Okay. And either way, it matches out to 666. And the number of man is 6. Okay, but now we talk about the power of man. It's tripled here, 666. Mary?
As we read this portion of the book of Revelation, we've always ascribed this business of the mark of the beast and the number of the man being 666. We've all, in teaching that I've heard and in common discussion, always ascribed that to the Antichrist himself. But actually, this paragraph that we're talking about is the false prophet. This whole paragraph has been about the second beast. He's called the beast. And when I'm looking at this, I looked at the whole paragraph. That's where you started, verse 11. And every time they saw another beast, we identified him as the false prophet, right? And then they just go on and they keep saying he, and he this, and he that, and he that. And everything has been about the false prophet. They haven't, I mean, I understand they're all in collusion, but we've always ascribed that to the enemy.
Well, it really depends on how you read verse 14 and 15 and whether you carry that on.
Oh, yeah, and I carry that on to be talking about the false prophet.
Right, and if you carry that on to talk about the first beast, then you would say the mark of the beast has to do with the first beast.
So, and we really don't have much of a clue, actually.
No, and I guess the point is what you just said, is that these two will be working so hand. There's not going to be much difference. And more than the person here, when we get to the end of the 666, this mark will be the mark of the system.
Right. That's what's really important, because a lot of people have majored in trying to identify
the exact person, yeah.
Antichrist, and that's where they get off base.
Yeah. And that's why I want to make a real point that when we talk about the beast, and you could probably add both beasts in if you want to. The beast are these people, of course, but they are the system. They're going to be that last worldly system that people are going to, they're going to put their faith and their trust in. Eddie.
So is that what's needing to have wisdom and to understand and calculate the number of beasts to understand that system?
So yeah, I think it is. And I think part of the wisdom is here, remember all the things that are part of this. That's why I say the number is the last thing. The number, if you will, is just the cap on it. But if you get to a place where you're okay with everything else by the time you get the number, you're going to take the number. That's the point. There comes the wisdom. Okay? You've already bought into the system. You've already submitted yourself completely to it. You know, I have people tell me, don't worry about this, don't worry about that, because it's not the number yet. But what they don't understand is, this, again, it's progressive. And every time we give in, and I'm not saying that certain things, I'm not saying that anything today is the mark of the beast. Okay? But what I am saying is, the preparation for this, including the place where we're, notice what we go back up in the verses right before. One of the big keys that people are going to have to keep their eye on. Let's say the pre-tribulation rapture doesn't happen, and we're going to be here during this time. Let's just say that, okay? This call to worship the beast is a huge thing. Notice that they're worshiping the beast before they take the mark, okay? And if you're worshiping something, you're not going to, as Christians, I'll bear the cross. I'll wear the cross to demonstrate to people I'm a follower of Jesus. Well, if you're worshiping the Antichrist, the false beast, it's not going to be a big thing for you to take the mark. So I think there comes the wisdom and stuff. The crowning thing will be that mark. And it basically is, you know, those who take the mark, we're going to discover, those who take the mark are lost. It's not merely taking a mark. It's all the other things that go with it. Because by the time you get to that place that you'll take the mark, you've already made a decision you're going to worship the beast. You've already denied the God of heaven. You put your trust in the earthly system and this individual who's leading this earthly system. You've already denied Christ. And the last indicator that you've done this is your willingness to take that mark. I say willingness. Again, it's not a matter of willingness. You've already given your soul over to him, so you're going to do it. And those who haven't given their soul over to him will be killed because they haven't done it. That makes sense? To me, it makes a lot more sense than what I was taught all the time growing up, that it is going to offer this and everybody's going to get in line to do it and stuff and be happy or have a choice to do it. That's just not what the way it's going to be. And we've always thought, well, how can people give themselves over so quickly? It's not a quick thing. And it's not going to happen. I'm telling you, it's not going to happen in the last 7 years even, or last 3.5 years prior to this. It's happening today. The preparation and the mindset of people is being so changed today that we're being prepared for it today. And like, what, the lemmings? Is that what they're called? The lemmings? You know, a bunch of lemons? I don't know. Whatever they are. We just follow. And we are, even in the church, if we're not careful, we even find ourselves in such a spiritual stupor that we have no sense of discernment of what's happening around us. And the world will tell us you're just a bunch of conspiracy nuts. You're intellectually inferior, but we've lost our voice too. Because I guarantee you, not all, please, but I guarantee you, the world, the religious voices that the world hear have very little to do with biblical Christianity. And I'm not talking about what you see on 21 or something. I'm talking about when something happens, when they have great meetings of the religious mind, very little Christianity is a part of that. That's not what the world's hearing today. And we have a president now who would rather talk about the virtues of Islam than the virtues of Christianity.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not the only, it's across the board is what I'm trying to tell you. He's a, you know, I heard this thing the other day, I thought it was such a good thing. If we think that our president has created what he is or where we're heading, then we've already missed it.
Yeah.
It's not that Obama is creating what is, it's that what is has created Obama.
Right.
You understand the difference there? It is the system that's created leaders like we have now. It's not our leaders now that have created the system. And it makes a big difference when you understand there's more behind this than the man that sits in the Oval Office today. Who is he?
Yeah.
He's so insignificant in the list. He's so insignificant that he can go play golf when the world's falling apart, and it doesn't make any difference because some things are already set.
Well, even that really liberal newspaper, the New York Times, has started to criticize Obama, but they like the system.
Yeah. Of course they do, but and you know, it's kind of like, well, we're over time. But it's kind of like the 17th chapter when we get there. It talks about the woman who rides the beast, and the beast being the woman that rides the beast is the false religion of the last days. But it says this, and when the beast is done with the woman, what's the beast do? He casts her off. In other words, he uses her. And I've just got to say, our president is a piece.
Absolutely.
That's being used.
Yeah.
And when the system is done with him, do you think they're going to have much consideration of him?
No. There'll be someone else.
I mean, I always say this to people. Who is our president? What do you know about him? What have you ever known about him? He was a junior senator, less than one term, that all of a sudden was promoted or propped up to where the world almost started worshiping him. Now, Hillary thought that she was the next one to be coronated. They tossed her aside like, you know, and this guy comes out of nowhere.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's a nobody. We don't know where he's from. We don't know his educational background. We have some indications of some of those who have had influence in life, Alinsky and Ayers and Reverend Wright. We have that, those kind of things. But who is this guy? You don't know. If you think you know, you don't know. And I'm not too certain that's not going to be what we have to look forward to in whoever replaces him too. Sue, you're going to share something?
Yes. I know we talked about it last week with Obamacare, but the system, the beast system has begun in the medical, not just with Obamacare. Everybody had to go electronic.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do not go, every single individual private practice along with the hospital has to go electronic. If they refuse, they're fined. My sister works for a doctor that refused. he has to pay the government because he refuses to go electronic. They are forced. They own these practices.
Yeah.
But they're forced to do this for...
It is crazy. And I watched this with Cliff Vick last week when they're getting ready for the surgery on his heart and stuff like that. There's one nurse that's more concerned about getting those little tags with the little lines off of everything and putting it on everything. Whatever she gave him, she took that little tag, you know. And Eddie, you're preparing to be a nurse too, you know, and the paperwork and the computer work that you guys have to do now, they're spending more time having to keep up with this stuff than taking care of the patients. Yeah. It's happening in the school system too.
Yeah.
Natalie Davis, she's done.
Yeah.
And she told me she's done because of the very same thing. They have to fill out so much paperwork. Yeah. And we go back to the control.
That's how the government.
I went to the dermatologist and I had to do all the paperwork and everything, and then they wanted to take my picture. And I went, they couldn't believe that I said, you don't have to have my picture. You have my ID, you have my insurance card, you have everything that you need.
I did the same thing at Bank when they want fingerprints. And no, you're not getting fingerprints.
And they didn't understand. I said, he needs that. They didn't know what I was taught. They go, what are you taught? You think we're going to, you know what she said? You think we're going to sell it to Facebook? I'm like, what are you? I'm like, oh my gosh, no.
All right. We're over time.
Who wanted your fingerprints? Your
thumbprints? Yeah. Some banks require a thumbprint.
Yeah.
By the way, you come back into the country now. Have you anybody traveled abroad lately?
Yeah.